Okay, we're recording now. Welcome, everybody. This is one in a series of multi-generational collegial conversations that we have been holding over the last couple of years. Our focus tonight is on building good relationships between parish and community ministers. I'm Melissa Carvel-Zimmer. I'm the UMA's Director of Ministries and Programs, and happy to be your host tonight, along with several colleagues who work with me to help promote collegiality and strong collegial connections in the UMA. I'm also joined tonight by Jan Taddeo, our UMA program administrator, who is providing tech support for us and is available throughout the session if you have any challenges or questions. So I'm grateful to Jan for being here and grateful to the folks who are helping to facilitate the session, the team of people that help promote collegiality. That includes Laura Cowton, Margalie Belazaire, and Karen Mooney. So I'm thankful to all three of them and to our panelists, who you'll learn more about later in the session. And so with that, again, I welcome you and hope that this is an enriching and engaging time for you, this next hour and a half that we have together. We'll take a moment to center ourselves with a chalice lighting, and I will turn the microphone over to Karen.
Welcome, good people. We light this chalice with these words from Reverend Katie Romano Griffin. May the flame of this chalice, the symbol of our faith, connect us to all who have come before us, all who are with us in body and spirit, and all who are yet to come into being. May it serve as a reminder of our unity and connection across all time and space. May the flame of this chalice, the symbol of our faith, connect us to all.
Thank you, Karen. So, one thing that you all surely know from your ministry contexts is that it can be a draw sometimes to focus on what's not working, to focus on where the problems lie, to focus on the challenges in our ministry context. And sometimes that can derail our attention from focusing on what is working and where the successes lie. That's true in the UMA as well. And, you know, on our collegial Facebook pages and in small group conversations, sometimes we can be tempted to focus on those exact same things in our collegial relationships, what's not working and where the challenges lie. And so the purpose of this conversation and the last one that we had along these lines is to really draw our attention to the places where good relationships are flourishing and to the practices that help create and sustain those relationships so that we can all be inspired by the successes and the blessings of collaboration between parish ministers and community ministers, and allow those successes and those blessings to inspire us in our own context. So that is our purpose here tonight, is to share the good news and to lift up some of what is working. And I'm happy that you're all here to add your voices to the conversation, which we'll have an opportunity to do when we have our breakout sessions later on. But first, some guidelines for our time together. And I'm going to turn the microphone now over to Laura, who will share about that.
Thank you, Melissa. Well, to help us in sharing our good news, as in, you know, in all of our collegial gatherings and good communication setting guidelines, we're going to just review the conversation guidelines that we're going to use, which are framed by Meg Wheatley's Turning to One Another. And a lot of this will be familiar to you, and I find it always a good reminder just to go through it before we start to engage for a relationship. So the first one is that we acknowledge one another as equals. We are all on the same page, how we show up, and we try to stay curious about each other. And sometimes the experience another one brings will be really strange to us. Let's be curious rather than judgmental. That's what we bring. And we recognize that we need each other's help to become better listeners. We're here to practice that. And we slow down so that we have time to think and reflect. Take a breath, especially after you're hearing something or sharing something that might be challenging. We remember that conversation is the natural way that humans think together. It is in relationship with one another that we get to know ourselves and our own thoughts better. And it's okay to be messy at times. In fact, it's to be expected. You know how things can get messy and it's disappointing. Well, let's celebrate the messiness. And then there's some extra things here. You know, everyone is welcome to express their feelings of satisfaction and joy, but also we're trying to stay focused on feelings rather than topics or critiques. We're not trying to fix anything here, but let's pay attention to what rises up inside for us. And the facilitators, myself included, and a couple of colleagues, we might interrupt if needed just to remind us to come back into these guidelines and to hold up the covenant that we have together. And we are all responsible for holding on to that covenant. And so if something needs to be addressed, please do. If there's an ouch or an oops, if you express one yourself, you recognize one in someone else, please do feel free to share it. This is how we learn and grow together. Everyone's experience is valid here. We are here to learn and grow together. Your experience, everyone's experience is what we're here to express. And we will make space for all voices to share and to be heard and to be honored in this space. And as you know, as we've heard, this is a recorded session, but the breakout groups are not. And so what is shared in these groups, it is held in confidence. But even though there will be a video available, we don't take anyone else's stories outside of this group. We just only share our own learnings from it. All right. Thank you. I think that's it, unless anyone has something you'd like to hold up or highlight for guidelines. I will pass it back over to Margalee.
Hello. Just want to make sure Melissa, as the lead host, that you didn't have something to say in between, or should I just go ahead with the introductions?
Go ahead, please, Margalee. Thank you.
Okay. When I looked earlier, and of course now I'm on speaker's view, I'm not sure if Duncan made it in or if anybody else was missing. I will go ahead and introduce everyone, and we'll go from there. So the first...
Margalee?
Yes.
This is Pam. I had my introduction in there, but I don't see it now. So... I may have to introduce myself unless it's in your copy.
No, it was in here. I'm not sure what happened to it either. So maybe we'll come back to that. While I introduce other folks, if you could put it in there. So I'll start with another team then. Well, I'll start with Allison Farnham and Jason Leiden. If I pronounce your names incorrectly, please. I'm asking for grace ahead of time. And when you speak, correct it, please. So Allison is the director and minister of the Unitarian Universalist Prison Ministry of Illinois. She lives in Evanston, Illinois, and is an affiliate community minister at Second Unitarian Church of Chicago. And the second half of that team today is Jason, who is the settled minister at the Second Unitarian Church. Oops, something moved. Second Unitarian Church of Chicago, where he has served since 2019. And Allison uses she, her, hers, and Jason uses he, him, his, or anything with respect. All right, so let's go back up to Pam, Pamela Johnson, and Mandy Goheen. I remember both of you from past lives, it almost seems like. Mandy, she uses she, her, hers, is the mother of six abolitionists, chicken enthusiasts, new land owner class, and fangirl of all things that lead us to our collective liberation. Mandy was called by the UU Church of Chattanooga in May 2019, founded in her experience as a student serving at the Church of the Larger Fellowship Prison Ministry. She was ready for the promise to love UUCC and take no, and it says insert expletive, but we'll just say to love UUCC. And for Pam Johnson uses she, her, and works as a hospice chaplain and is affiliated with the Unitarian Universalist Church of Chattanooga, where she has been a member for 30 years. And our third team, Jonathan Rogers and Duncan Teague. Jonathan is the affiliated community minister for social justice and abundant love, where he has served since 2021. His community affiliations include Freedom University, an underground freedom school for undocumented students, and Harbor Grace Hospice in downtown Atlanta. And Duncan enjoyed a career in HIV/AIDS education, advocacy, and research coordination when he accepted this specific call to lead the establishment of Abundant Love Congregation. Teague is certain that at this time, the West End community of Atlanta is ready for and has been waiting on the Abundant Love Unitarian Universalist Congregation. So these are our folks today who will be sharing their experiences with us of good relationships with one another. So I will pass it on to you, Melissa.
Thank you very much. So we'll start with Reverend Pam and Reverend Mandy. We invited our panelists to consider a question before we arrived here today and to share some reflections with all of us. So the question is, how did you nurture and develop a positive and respectful collegial relationship between you as parish and community ministers? And each of you has an opportunity to share in response to that question.
You're muted, and you first.
I see that as continuing to evolve. I graduated from Meadville at the time that Mandy was called to our church. And then I immediately went into a hospice resident, I mean, a chaplain residency, and then COVID. So we didn't have a whole lot of opportunities to start building relationships, except maybe through worship, I guess, mostly with as I was serving on the worship team and on pastoral care. And we started that. And I think one blossoming of our relationship happened when Mandy invited me to share her room at GA last summer. And we had a lot of time to talk, to get to know each other much better. And it was a very fruitful time that I'm grateful for. And of course, along the way was making clear our expectations in terms of an affiliation agreement with the church and a covenant between the two of us.
So I would add that the reason I offered to share my boarding for free with Rev Pam is that I have a decent professional expense account, and I feel like it's good practice to share that with my affiliated minister. It makes me feel good. We enjoy our time together. We both had some health issues. I invited her to the mountain. I had this change of heart in a collegial gathering of SUMA, which is a Southern UU It's All Us Good People at the Mountain in North Carolina. And, you know, I got kind of turned on my head about, if I'm anti-capitalist, then Pam gets the fruits of my labor too. And it's just been a joy to share that way. And she's also, we're like good cop, bad cop. It's really fun, I'm not gonna lie. And it's very joyful. She's got the Christians and I got the heathens, you know. It's been that kind of relationship. And I think I'm most grateful for her pushback. Not only did I promise to love everyone and not take their shit, I also promised that I would disappoint everyone. In fact, one of our colleagues helped with that promise at my church. And so Pam often is my thermometer of how to take good care of our people together, especially keeping track of my choir, because I'm not the greatest of singers and she's in there with them. So I think it's really lovely. And I think that we're role models for shared ministry in our congregation together. Also, like, as you might've heard, we try not to take advantage financially and support her. So she's paid for, we get one sermon on the house, you know, that kind of stuff is in our covenant. So that's what I got to say about that. It's a joy.
Before we go to the next set, the next couple to introduce, I want to apologize so much. I am not sure what happened here. I want to apologize to Barbara Myers and Greg Ward. I failed to introduce you earlier, so here we go. I think I was leaving the very best for last. I mean, you know, the rest of you will talk later, but I think that's what was happening here. So Barbara uses she, her, it is a Unitarian Universalist community minister with a mental health ministry based in Fremont, California, and is affiliated with Mission Peak UU Congregation, where she's also a founding member. And Greg serves as the parish minister at Mission Peak UU Congregation, same congregation, and has been there since August 2020. All right, so.
Thanks, Margalee, and thank you so much for going first, Pam and Mandy. That was very generous, and we really appreciate you sharing your experience. Thank you. Sure. So, so participants know, after we're done with each pair sharing, there will be a chance to have breakout groups. So if you have questions, we'll have some time together and we'll also have breakout groups. But what we've heard so far can be percolating as we hear from the others. So again, thank you, Pam and Mandy. We'll turn now to Barbara and Greg, who we just heard introduced. So we'll bring them up onto the spotlight screen. Thank you, Reverend Barbara and Reverend Greg. Will you please share, in response to the same question, how did you nurture and develop a positive and respectful collegial relationship between you as parish and community ministers?
You're muted, Barbara.
I think I would know that after what gazillion Zoom meetings I've been in. As mentioned in my introduction, I am a founding member of the congregation and was very active in church activities before I decided to go to seminary and become a community minister and then became affiliated. I have now served under four called ministers and as many interim ministers as well. And one of the things that I've done with each of them is to create a covenant. And we share, you know, basically what I do is I share what I had before with the previous one, and then we add or subtract anything that we want to have happen. And so I am also a member of the congregation and serve under in a number of different capacities, like at the worship committee and the pastoral care committee, and I do aesthetics, and I also on the anti-racism group for that congregation. That was great.
As Barbara said, it really makes a difference that she knows so much about the congregation and the congregation knows so much about her. So she's involved in so many things. So that gives me an advantage that she knows what I do, right? So she knows what parish ministry is, even though she is a community minister. And the congregation itself is really steeped and well-educated and well-invested in mental health ministry, as well as the anti-racism, anti-oppression work that Barbara does so much. One of the things that I didn't put in my introduction is that I was a transition minister for about 12 years, and I also served on the center committee, and I served on the ministerial fellowship committee. So between those experiences, I've been in congregations where there's been a really great relationship between community ministers and parish ministers, and unfortunately, some situations where there wasn't. And I know there are many, many reasons why community ministers need affiliation and need the support of not only the congregation, but the minister, and how you can be in relationship to model the kind of respect and the kind of appreciation and affirmation and, you know, really reverence for one another. And that when that happens well, as it is described in the covenant and as it is described in the documents of affiliation, it really just makes both the experience of both ministers better and more exciting and more supportive. I love having Barbara in the congregation, and unlike some people, it feels like I am in her congregation rather than she's in my congregation. But I think we kind of hold that very generously with one another, and we back each other up, and you know, we have fun. And that's not only in the congregation, but it's also in collegial relationships as well, which I know can sometimes be tricky, if there is, especially if there's any tension or any unmet needs with either of the ministers. So don't think there's much more to add at this point.
Thank you both so much for sharing and for being here to be part of the sharing. We appreciate you. We'll turn now to Reverend Jason and Reverend Allison, who are both with the Second Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Chicago. And as they come up on the screen, I will again share the question. So this is Jason Lydon, Jan, that we're bringing on.
Aaron can hang out too.
I know, right?
What a fun time.
Love both of you. Yeah.
Thank you. So again, thank you both for being here, Reverend Jason, Reverend Allison. And the question that we invite you to answer again is, how did you nurture and develop a positive and respectful collegial relationship between you as parish and community ministers?
You want to start?
Sure.
Okay.
I think it's one thing that Allison and I were talking about is that we just have a big love fest for each other. I think we have a little less, or not think, we have a little less involvement in each other's lives than our previous two teams. But the UU Prison Ministry of Illinois has been near and dear to my heart since its inception. And I was really excited about Allison's application and participation and coming to UUPMI. And then when having the opportunity at 2U to connect Allison to the congregation, it was just really exciting to figure out ways to support her ministry at UUPMI. And then also to get more folks in the congregation connected to other people who aren't just me talking about abolition and talking about a vision of a world free from police and prisons. And to hear that there are visionary thinkers like Allison who are imagining what UU prisoner solidarity looks like and encouraging people to do that in whatever different ways that they can. Allison brings music to our congregation whenever she comes and preaches with us. Our ways of being in the pulpit are very different and very, very complementary, I think. We are able to celebrate each other in our different ways of approaching parish ministry. And I would say I've really benefited also just from Allison sharing stories of parish ministry that we, I would say our community ministry affiliation is very much so more collegial than it is necessarily congregationally rooted. Not that there aren't beautiful congregationally rooted moments that happen, particularly when she's preaching, particularly when trying to involve congregation members in UU Prison Ministry of Illinois through pen pal relationships, through, you know, we have some members who are connecting with formerly incarcerated folks who have gotten out of prison since being connected with people in the church or being connected with UUPMI. And the church has been able to invest in some of those folks, whether that's with ministers' discretionary funds, whether that's with bringing someone to preach and collaborate with us in the pulpit. And what it feels like to me is that Allison and I are able to provide a lot of care and support to each other's different yet overlapping ministries that are powerful and are more powerful because we're in relationship with each other.
Yeah, I echo everything that Jason said. There's definitely a love fest. So I'm actually just going to take a moment to bask in that, because it is a really lovely relationship. And part of it for me is that, that might be different. Like Jason highlighted, is that I'm not there every Sunday. I'm not deeply enmeshed in the system. I see my role. And part of that is because the community ministry work I do is working with congregations. So when I'm at 2U, I'm on. Like that's, and I'm not, and I, in a way in which, like, I'm going to be working, I'm going to be making connections and facilitating and doing the UU prison ministry work. So often when I have Sundays off out of the pulpit from going around to different pulpits and sharing the good news, I'm not at 2U, right? So I think that that's a little different, and I do have the pleasure of being recruited by their amazing music director to come and sing. And I do also, like, one of the things that happened was as soon as I moved into the area, I came up through 2U as a young adult, and I got my call to ministry and was nurtured by 2U. And I feel like that's a really important perspective to continue to reflect back into that system. And so I take great pleasure in doing that. And I do that in service of whatever Jason needs. Like, and I don't mean that in a subservient way, because we have relationships. So when, you know, it's like, what do I need to say? You know, I feel like every good colleague, whenever we're going into someone else's pulpit, we're asking that question. What do they need to hear that maybe would be better coming from someone else? And so I do appreciate being able to bring that perspective when it suits and when it works for everyone. We do have an affiliation agreement. I was just hunting and pecking in the email and I was like, oh, there it is. And I think that, you know, it's always really good to have something in writing. And at the same time, I feel like it's really the most important thing is just the ongoing relationship building between us and keeping the lines of communication open about how to be in service to one another. And I really enjoy Jason's ministry. I feel like there's part of what I do that I love doing too. It feeds me is like being a cheerleader. Like, I'm like, dang, that was an amazing newsletter article, because, you know, no one else usually, like, it's very rare when someone's like, that newsletter article was amazing, right? But I'm like, that really was a good newsletter article. Like, you're doing great. And I think that feels really good for me. And I get kudos and cheers from Jason too. So the love fest, may it continue.
Awesome. Thank you. I feel like that's a practice we can commend to one another, is praising each other on our newsletter articles when warranted. You're right. No one ever says that. So thank you for that recommendation. And thank you both for sharing. So Reverend Duncan has replied to send his sincere apologies. His words to me are that he let too many things happen, and he is not going to be able to make it. But we do have Reverend Jonathan here, and he's still willing to share with us. So thank you for being willing to share a little bit about how you have worked in your context to develop and a positive and respectful collegial relationship between you and Reverend Duncan at Abundant Love.
My pleasure. It's so wonderful hearing the stories of my colleagues across the country doing good collaborative community ministry. And so I feel like I'm riding that high as well, getting to hear from y'all. Part of what makes things work well between Duncan and I is that although time management isn't one of his strengths, it doesn't bother me when things don't happen when they're scheduled to. And so we roll with the situation pretty easily. The biggest factor and nurturing and developing a positive collegial relationship for us is that we've been really good friends for over a decade now, literally from the first Atlanta UU Ministers Cluster meeting that I attended down here in the fall of 2012. We hit it off right away, and we talked about both being spouses of physicians and what that's like. And we've just been really close and good friends ever since then, regardless of our respective ministerial situations and aspirations. Throughout my time as a parish minister and his navigating the different community and now emerging ministry, parish ministry that he's doing. So the thing that I want to emphasize in terms of Abundant Love specifically that was really helpful for us is that we came into this aspect of our ministerial relationship with a strong covenant. We had been, like I said, close friends for almost a decade by the time I asked him if I could be an affiliated community minister at Abundant Love, which had been going for a couple years at that point. And I came to him with a couple pages worth of covenant items that were a proposal, and we worked through the respective ones together and altered it a little bit together. But I started from the template community minister covenant, community minister parish minister covenant provided by the EUMA, and wrote up the boundaries and everything that we were going to have in this new dimension of our relationship. And that's been super necessary and helpful. I struggle with boundaries sometimes because I feel like now that I don't have a parish ministry position, my free time has to be pretty much infinite relative to what it was before. And of course, once family life and other social justice commitments are factored in, that is not at all the case. But knowing what we've agreed that I will do at Abundant Love and what I won't do has made it really clear as to what he will ask and what I can expect in order to be supportive to him and the Abundant Love community in the way that I've promised. Specifically, for example, I've said that I'll preach a couple times a year and kind of be the backup of last resort when he's got to go out of town last minute or anything like that. But I don't do pastoral care within the congregation. And when there have been questions or conflicts around that, we've been able to work through them with at least a baseline agreement to know, okay, we're going to stick with what we said before, or we're going to make this exception in this circumstance, and it may or may not be an exception that we account for in the future. So that would be kind of the factor that I think has been really important for us that I would suggest to others who are looking at starting or continuing community minister, parish minister relationships, is having that covenantal agreement up front is really helpful. And we also shared that with the founding team for Abundant Love. We don't have a board yet, but we have a core team, a founding team. And so they knew from the start also what to expect in terms of my participation in leadership at Abundant Love. And so even though Duncan and I have big political differences, we have some theological differences and personality differences, we have been friends and loved each other for so long at this point that I have utter confidence in our relationship surviving whatever challenges our ministerial relationship as community and parish minister might encounter. That we will continue to work together and love each other, no matter how things go at Abundant Love.
Thank you very much. It was very generous of you to continue sharing, and we appreciate you doing so. Thank you for being here.
Usually when I've got a split 5 minutes with Duncan, it means that I end up with -2 minutes. So this was a big adjustment, but I'm happy to get to speak about Abundant Love anytime.
Duncan can tell stories. I know that. Okay, thank you. So we have time now for all of you who have been so good to come tonight to ask any questions that you might have about things that you were thinking before you came here that maybe brought you to this session, or something you heard from the panelists that piqued your interest about how they have worked on their relationships. So I'm going to turn this over now to Karen, who's going to facilitate a time. We have about 10 minutes now for any Q&A.
Wonderful. So Zoom is a thing, and what I would like to ask is, if you have a question for anybody that's already spoken, or have a question that, as Melissa said, you came into this space with on your heart, if you would either put it in the chat or do the hand raise thing that's part of the reactions that you have within your Zoom capabilities. I know that we are all really good at that now, maybe more than we would want to be. So these are just open-ended questions. And I'm going to start us off with one. I'm curious for those people that have talked already, what you think one of your congregants, oops, wait, you know what? Forget it. Becca, go ask your question. Awesome.
Thank you. yeah, my name is Becca Bernard. I'm in Anchorage, Alaska, and I am actually meeting tomorrow with the parish minister here in Anchorage. We already have a long-standing relationship, and we've already agreed that I will be an affiliated community minister, but we're actually meeting tomorrow morning to start hashing it out. And so one, I guess the thing that I heard sort of loudest and clearest from all of you was the importance of having a strong covenant and affiliation agreement. And within that, to really spell out very clearly what I, as the community minister, will and won't do with the congregation. And my question is there anything else besides that, you know, clearly defining what I will and won't do that you think is really crucial to include? I mean, I've looked at I've looked at some of the sample agreements on the UUSCM website, and there's a lot of variation. So anyway, anything anybody else thinks is really important to include, I would love to hear.
Yeah, I could just say that one thing you might want to be clear about is if there is something that you do, is it compensated or not? And being very clear about that, because that, yeah, that's just good to know. And I don't say that there's any like cut and dry answers to what that is. I think it really depends on everyone's capacity and yeah.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, that makes sense.
For people, community ministers who are also members of the congregation, it's a good idea, I think, to you know, have a clear idea of what you do as a member and what you do as a professional minister. And if there are some things that you do in the congregation as a professional minister, it's just like was saying, to spell out what they are and how they're compensated. And if there's some things that aren't, it's just good for everybody to know.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks. See your hand, Chris. Anybody else from the panel that wants to answer that? Jason.
I think one of the things that Allison said, one of the things I noticed, so I've been on both sides of this, also as a community minister affiliated with a congregation. I really think it's important for the community minister to be affirming the ministry of the settled minister and being very cautious not to get triangulated and to be seen as like the alternative minister or someone who can be complained to and things like that. I feel like I experienced that quite a bit when I was a community minister, and it was really important to like do the hard work of resisting triangulation and redirecting congregants to the settled minister with love, with great love, but with clarity. And so I think getting clear for yourself around your support for the settled minister and the vision, like understanding what their vision is, so that you can be nurturing and supporting that. And also getting a heads up about which congregants they're anxious might be the ones who are going to participate in this. Not so that you're policing them. It's not about policing congregants, but it's about just being aware of what to expect.
Great. And I see a question in the chat.
Mandy and I second that. Big time.
So I see a question in the chat, Barbara, for you about whether or not you have examples of the distinction between ministry versus lay participation. I am going to note that we only have 5 minutes and I have 2 other questions. So Jonathan, I saw your hand, and Barbara, I don't know if you have a quick example or if you might put that into the chat. Either way, Jonathan, did you have a Barbara?
Karen, could Barbara? While Barbara is thinking about that, I want to just interject to say that we had fewer people come tonight than registered, and it might make sense for us to spend more time here rather than going into breakouts. And I see some people nodding their heads and giving thumbs up. So let's take all the time and be spacious about this.
Awesome. So Barbara, if you have, and then I do see, I know that Chris was waiting. I know that Jonathan had his hand up to answer this question as well. And I see a question in the chat from Lydia. So, but let's go to Barbara first, then to Jonathan, and then three of the panelists have responses.
So what I have outlined are the things that I do as a volunteer lay member of the congregation is I can act as a worship associate. I'm on the pastoral care committee as a member. I'm on the anti-racism and oppression committee. I do aesthetics, like setting up our congregation for worship. And I'm a member of the community on ministry. The kinds of things that I get compensated for is covering pastoral care when the minister is away. So it's basically anything that requires professional ministry, officiating at memories, in memorial services and weddings. Let's see. I guess I have a bunch of other things that I do in the denomination as well, which is, you know, things that are part of my ministry as mental health. The president at the UU Mental Health Network, I work at a mental health center. I give workshops and services all over the country about mental health. I'm part of the Equal Access Organization. And a lot of those things, they're activities of my ministry. When it's something in the congregation that requires professional ministry, then I get compensated for that. But if it's a committee, like if I'm a member of a committee, that doesn't happen.
Thank you, Barbara. Jonathan, you had some responses?
Yeah, I just wanted to encourage you, Becca, and anyone else who's in the process of forming a community minister relationship to take the opportunity to pick out a couple of UUMA guidelines in specific that you want to lift up in the covenant, especially if it's one that you'll be sharing with the board of the congregation or any lay leaders, because I think it's always great to take an opportunity to reflect on our guidelines together. And if it's something that's going to be shared with lay leadership, it's great for them to be aware that there are professional guidelines that we hold ourselves accountable to as ministers. I had folks when we sent ours who said, oh, I thought y'all just kind of, you know, winging it together. But I guess it does make sense for you to have some professional guidelines. And so it was a nice point of education for them.
Thank you all so much. Knowing that this is a question that is very broad and probably could lead in a lot of different ways, I'm going to encourage us to go ahead and find the next question from Chris, knowing that these will, I'm sure, dovetail at some level as well. So Chris, what was your question for us?
Hi, yeah, I'm Chris Santal. I'm in Philadelphia, community minister. I don't have an affiliation with the congregation. I've heard people talk about, I'm hearing like kind of a pattern of community ministers who have been very involved in a congregation over many years, are members. They've, you know, in some cases they've outlasted five settled ministers. You know, that's not my situation. Like I don't have a relationship with congregations around the Veterans Hospital where I work. I don't have a personal relationship or history. And I think what I need and what I'm looking for in affiliation, I want a collegial relationship with a colleague, but I also want a congregation that sees what I'm doing in the community as an extension of their ministry, that they actually want to share in this kind of ministry. And I'm not hearing like that kind of conversation this evening. I'm hearing a lot about community ministers doing stuff in the parish, but I'm not hearing about like the congregations wanting to share the larger ministry that the community ministers are a part of. So I'm wondering if people could speak to that.
So I think that Pam and I can speak to that in a way. I guess we're just focusing on nuts and bolts of congregational life right now. And as we're in conversations about community ministry, we always have to remind ourselves to like expand what we're talking about and not think inside the context of parish ministry, just to just like get us out of that for a minute. And then the next part is like, you know, I challenged our congregation to ask her how things are going and support her at the same time. And her ministry as a hospice chaplain, which they are very like attached to and proud of. And, you know, I explained to them in Tennessee, she's the one on the front lines all the time. She's having to sing hymns that I couldn't utter out of my mouth to people out in the country. And she's doing the work and we need to be loving on her. And so I think that by being the church that she had an installation in, and I want to express the importance of ritual, that she is connected to our community. And we have a community with a history of some kind of wonky misconduct, as we all do. And like us together is just a really nice team, because she has history and some people don't trust me and she needs to do the memorial service and we're cool with that, you know. So there's really, I'm hoping, and I want you to speak to this, Pam, that there's a benefit to you to be affiliated with us, like in the reverse, like relational aspect. Do you have any insight into that? Sorry to put you on the spot. She doesn't love that at lunch.
Well, this is sort of a tangential connection. In Chattanooga, we have a hospice for people who are unhoused called Welcome Home. And one of our members is a employee there. She does education. And knowing that I was a hospice chaplain, she invited me to give an educational presentation on grief in the holiday. So that was one way that I was able to get outside the congregation and use my expertise as a hospice chaplain. I guess I'm trying to think outside the congregation. Other than that, I can't think of anything initially, but yes, just being well acquainted with grief in all its forms for all the different losses people have, helping sometimes to, and this is kind of a pastoral care function, I guess, to realize that there can be grief over the loss of a staff member. There can be grief over various things, and to kind of use some of that expertise.
People being mad at me a lot. And like, so, and I just want to express that, like, maybe we're not talking about like gosh, with a troubled congregation, I don't know how I'd have done it without Pam. I just want to be really clear. And she makes me a better minister. I hope that's enough some days. I'm cantankerous. But I'm just wondering how we might feed you. You're in the choir. I think we feed you that way.
Yes, definitely. The singing definitely brings me joy.
We ask you awkward questions about Jesus. I think we help you that way. I don't know. I hope it goes both ways, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah,
I appreciate that question.
Barbara, I see your hand.
Yes, my ministry is featured on the website of the congregation. And I've also had activities of the congregation or activities of my ministry where people in the congregation have participated in them. You know, so there is a relationship, and it's it's visible on our website, and it's also visible in the activities of the people in the congregation participating.
Thank you, Barbara. Jason, and then Greg.
I guess, Chris, I really wish that 2U did what you're talking about. I wish that there was more of an investment from the congregation of saying, UUPMI is a vital ministry in our state, and Reverend Allison represents the values of 2U in the community, and that's important. When I was affiliated at the Jamaica Plain UU Church in Boston, the whole congregation voted about whether or not I would be an affiliated minister. And at 2U, it is essentially the minister who affirms or denies that request, and the board affirms or denies the process that the settled minister has kind of decided. And so I don't think that that creates congregational investment. And so I think what you are talking about, Chris, would be what I wish. Like, I wish we had that. TU does actually an immense amount of prison ministry, I think, even before either Allison or I got there. Like, they house the Black and Pink chapter. They've been doing lots of different things like that have not like existed before us. And yet they don't identify themselves as a congregation, as invested in prison ministry. And it's bizarre to me. And so, Chris, I wish, I long for that connection that you're talking about between congregation and community minister.
Yeah, Jason, I appreciate that example you gave. And it kind of brings to mind another kind of question, which is like, if I'm talking with a congregation and a minister colleague, is it appropriate for me to say, hey, you know, I want to affiliate with a congregation that's invested, and this, I want to, you know, I would like to have a vote. I want the congregation to vote to bring me in as an affiliated minister. Is that appropriate? Because it sounds like that's what worked, and that's really what I'm looking for. I'm dealing with a population. They're not in prison. They're not in hospice. This is a veteran population they're basically, you know, out there. There's a very high suicide rate among this population. And for the most part, they're unaffiliated. And I think this population would really thrive in our congregations if our congregations would just kind of open up their minds a bit. And that's where I want to do this shared ministry. But if the congregation is not invested, you know, I'm not going to be the bridge to bring this population into a congregation that is not going to do the work that they need to do to be a welcoming and receptive congregation to this particularly challenging population.
They are interesting and inviting questions. Greg, I see your hand, and then Jonathan, I see yours as well.
Yeah, Chris, I just wanted to add, there's a lot of congregations that unless they have had a really successful supportive relationship between congregation and community minister, there's a lot of questions about how you can really support. And I would really advocate for you, and I'd, as the parish minister of a congregation that you were interested in, I'd really want to have a long conversation with you about, can you describe what success looks like to you, and how specifically the congregation or the parish minister can be participating in that and be an advocate for you, and just become really clear about it. Also, if you're interested in coming into that congregation to support and advocate for your ministry, and you want to be have a supportive community for you personally or for you and your family, that needs a whole other conversation about where is the boundary around that, and how can the congregation understand that boundary, and how can the minister really back you up on that boundary. so that you don't have to keep doing it all yourself. Does that make sense?
I'm going to Jonathan next, and then I see your hand, Margali.
Part of the reason that I left parish ministry for community ministry was that I spent 4 or 5 years trying every dang which way that I could think of to get the congregations that I served more invested in and involved in the social justice initiatives that were important to me. Right, first among them being immigration advocacy and support here in Georgia. And fortunately, you know, eventually I had the means to not need to take a salary and say, I'm just going to go off and do this on my own. And any of y'all who are interested in coming to help, I would love to have your help. But I'm not going to be the one who takes responsibility for having a congregational presence in this work. And I've probably gotten just as many folks from the Metro Atlanta UU congregations coming to help by having switched over and been affiliated with Freedom University and with another immigration group that I work with, as I did, being in the pulpit of a couple of our big ones, trying to, you know, put in the announcements and in the calls out every Sunday to like, hey, come help with this. It's really important. And we need a lot of us. So just to, you know, have realistic expectations about a congregation and to consider like multiple ways that you can do the community ministry that's important to you in relationship with a congregation.
Thank you, Jonathan.
And I think that's the direction I was heading to, Chris, because the congregation gets to choose what kind of justice work it engages, right? Fortunately and unfortunately, and sometimes even the minister who's and the parish is pushing along, helping along, you know. So all that to say, and then also the work that a community minister is doing as a minister doesn't necessarily apply automatically to be the work of the congregation. So somebody who's, as Pam mentioned, you work as a chaplain in hospice care. That doesn't necessarily have to be the work of the congregation. Not that it's not any justice work really would be good if you get our congregation involved, but sometimes I think that's why maybe it feels like top heavy, that the congregations, you know, but I do think one thing that I think Mandy mentioned, how do we support you specifically as the community minister, so that you are feeling fed and you are feeling part of the community? Because the congregation, you know, I think sometimes as ministers, parish ministers, we confuse the congregation as our congregation when really it's their congregation, and then we're doing the work with them, and that may not be the type of work they want to undertake. And then the last thing I wanted to say was, you know, when it comes to the idea of community minister affiliating with congregations, that's not something that the congregations have anything to do with. It's more the UU way, who doesn't want what I call any renegade minister and wants every minister to be covered under any fellowship, or if someone pursuing fellowship in Tuyen Tan Universum to be covered under a congregation. So I'm thinking just kind of like these things to keep in mind at the very least, as far as like how involved a congregation will be in the work of a particular community minister. I just wanted to, okay, I say that because I have, I was speaking because I do have a community minister that I work with in my congregation.
Thank you for this rich conversation. I'm just going to acknowledge I see Amy and Pam's hand. There's also a question that's still in the chat from Lydia and one from you as well, Amy. Amy, did you want to add to this conversation or you're muted?
We'll go with the question that's in the chat.
Okay. Pam, did you have some final thoughts on this?
Oh, I was going to, I noticed, I think Amy's question in the chat and was going to respond to that when the time came.
Yeah, good. Let's go. I want to go back up with just a little bit. So I want to acknowledge that all of the two questions that we have wrestled with so far are maybe 4 or 5 or 29, don't have any clear-cut answers. I'm not going back to the questioners to ask if they feel fulfilled with the answers that they've gotten. If you feel like there's more that you need added, we'll get you in the line. But for now, I'm going to go back up to Lydia. You had a question that you asked in the chat to say, I'm curious about how you maintain the relationship over time, especially given the busy schedules people have. Do you meet regularly, socialize, have fun together? And Lydia, I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to add to that.
No, that's good. I'm in my car now, so.
Thank you. So how do you all keep the relationship going and maintained?
I would say after a while, I'm like, whoa, I haven't talked to Jason in a while. It's pretty organic. I think that I maybe we're lucky that it's organic, right? And if there were, I feel like if there were a time where I started to feel, I don't know, some sort of negative emotion, like then I would need to address that with Jason and say like, and then come up with a plan, you know, that's mutually agreeable for how we can stay connected. And if there was some sort of, you know, conflict between us, you know, obviously it is of top importance to work on that, so that it doesn't affect each other's ministries, right? And just because, you know, let the love fest continue.
I just gotta add and say, I feel like we really support each other's ministries, where our ministries are very different, and we have very different responsibilities, and we're invested in each other's success. And Allison has a lot of familiarity with 2U long before I got there, and I have a lot of familiarity with UUPMI before Allison got there. And so we have experience and wisdom about each other's spaces that each other don't have. And we get to support each other in that. I would also add that when I was on medical leave, Allison helped fill in, and I was off for 4 months. And all at that time, there were 3 community ministers at 2U, and they all took on responsibilities to take care of the church, that when the settled minister is in crisis, community ministers have the capacity and wisdom of the congregation to fill in ways that help provide stability and care when there's something so big going on in the life of the settled minister.
Thank you both. The next question was from Amy. Amy, did you want to ask it or should I read it from the chat?
Go ahead and read it, it's fine.
Okay, from Amy Williams-Clark. I'm just beginning to look for a congregation to affiliate with and one where I can worship and be in a congregational community. Should these be one and the same, or should I be looking for 2 separate congregations?
Well, that was one I thought I could answer. In Chattanooga, there's only 1 UU congregation. So if I wanted to worship at a UU church, they had to be one and the same. I will say it is challenging at time to keep the boundaries, especially since I've been a member at this church for so long. trying to keep those ministerial boundaries. You know, I think I've done a pretty good job of that. I think one time I was a little outside my lane, but my mentor kind of coached me on that, and I've learned my lesson, so to speak. The other thing I would say is, you know, when Mandy is gone, especially to some extent every Sunday, but especially when she's out of the pulpit, I feel on, even though, you know, that's part of my own work ethic, I guess. I still feel like I've got to have the eyes and ears out there seeing what's going on. And so that does take some of my energy. So if you have the option of having one congregation to worship in and participate in, and one to be affiliated, if that's an option for you, I would suggest really looking at that for your own. It makes boundaries clearer, I think, and gives you that opportunity to be off or change your mindset in terms of whether you are member or whether you are a community minister.
Right.
Yeah, I think Pamela answered that really well. But Amy, I would say that if you are one of the ministers across the country who is fortunate enough to have your choice of maybe two or three or four congregations to affiliate or associate with, you're very lucky. I would say when you try and do both of those, you have to keep really good boundaries, because the congregation, by and large, won't. And I'm saying that loving all the congregations that I serve, but they're just not as good at that. And not only do you have to keep those good boundaries, but your parish minister has to keep those boundaries. And if you're really thoughtful and intentional about it, you might bring in the community or the committee on ministry so that you have multiple advocates who understand where one role ends and where another role begins, and specifically what you're looking to do, because it's going to take multiple voices in that system in order to kind of just keep it clear, and especially keep it in the direction that is most beneficial to you and the congregation.
Okay. Thank you all for your wisdom. Thank you for the questions. Jonathan, sure. And then we're going to hand it back to Melissa.
All righty. Just to say that I worship with abundant love just about every Sunday that I'm not guest preaching somewhere else. I love worshiping in our community. It's a little bit of a unique situation because Duncan, as the founding minister, is abundant love at this point, for better or for worse. And so I don't worry at all that folks are going to have, you know, questions about ministerial authority not being vested with him at any given time. And we're also like a very small emerging congregation. And so there have been some days where I'm one of three people in the pews. And it's really important to bring that energy and that presence as like the person who's there, knowing what it's like to be in the pulpit, seeing that kind of a crowd and the kind of support that can be helpful when you only have a few people there. And a lot of times too, there's something last minute that needs to be done for the service that I'm happy to jump in and help with. So depending on the situation, you know, it can work really well to be, you know, fed by a congregation and to provide spiritual support as a participant as well as a leader.
Thank you. And Melissa?
Thank you so much. This has been terrific. And I want to share one more idea that is just beginning to emerge, though is largely still aspirational, but is something that I hope will continue to grow into. And that is seeking creative partnerships between community ministers and congregations. We do have a couple of colleagues with very dynamic and vital community ministries who have sought out congregations that are particularly passionate about that work that the community minister is doing to affiliate with. And in both of those instances, the congregation that they found that shared the passion that the community minister holds were not where the community minister lives. And the kind of technology we have now has allowed those affiliations to take place. So there is that possibility of looking for a congregation that is not where you live, that shares your justice commitments, if that is the nature of your ministry or your community ministry commitments. The other thing I will add that I think is mostly aspirational, but is an area I really believe we need to grow into, is taking down the barriers between parish and community and helping Unitarian Universalist congregations integrate more into their communities. And I think community ministers are beautifully poised to help lead the way. And it's something that I hope we'll figure out how to do more of together. So let me see. We have a few resources to share with you. And then just a few minutes for some general comments before we close at the bottom of the hour, the half hour. So I'm going to turn it over to Lara to share some resources.
Thanks, Melissa. And just before I go through that list, I want to say thanks to you, Melissa, for raising something. I just kept thinking, in the context I'm in, I'm serving a large church, and I'm thinking, where are our affiliated community ministers? And we have all these opportunities for our community outreach ministry teams that we don't have lay leadership to engage in. And I wish we had affiliated ministers, community ministers, to do that, to make that connection. So I see lots of opportunities as well, and I hope to see more community ministers engaging in that. Our resources. Fantastic resources. And Jonathan, I thank you for lifting up the UUMA guidelines for conduct of ministry, because that is one of our key resources, looking at that. And our congregants could use a refresher on that too, so they understand the differences or what we're required to do and hold that up. It is a surprise to them, the covenant, the code of conduct, the standards of professional practice, the expectations for ministers of the institutions that we serve. And that's for Committee on Ministries and Review and Evaluation, but also the responsibilities and expectations among colleagues and working in multi-minister staff settings, or the call and initiation and all those procedures. It's all in there. And it's such a fantastic resource to revisit over and over and to share with our congregations, but also to look at between the community ministers and the parish ministers as you're creating your covenants. Congregational affiliation for community ministers, there's a link that will be shared here. It's a presentation by Reverend John Cooper, and it's a video, and he currently serves as a chaplain after having served in many different ministerial settings. And this video offers tips and tricks about congregational affiliation for community ministers, and he shares his own experience learning about best practices and some hurdles and what might be best options considering different circumstances, because every community minister's circumstances are different. There's also a link for the UUCSM, the congregational affiliation, that is outdated, is being reworked, and you may get more current information actually from the video from John Cooper, but watch that site. And then there's a link to sample covenants. And this has been lifted up by a number of our pairs today, is just how important it is to have clear guidelines, understandings of the roles, the expectations, the compensation, the boundaries, the clarification on how to be, if you're a member of the congregation and an affiliated minister and a colleague, have all of that really clearly delineated before you get into trouble. And that's what our covenants are for. And we That's the list of resources. If anybody has other great resources to share, please drop them in the chat or send them to Melissa to share with everybody. And we decided not to do our breakout groups, but there were a few questions that we might want to ponder. I think we spend a lot of time already looking at this, but there might be something else to lift up. The first question, in your experience or observation, what do you think helps create good relationships between parish and community ministers? And I think that's been a lot of our focus tonight, and there's some wonderful tips there. The second question we might want to spend some time in is, in your experience or observation, what do you think are the challenges that make it difficult to create good relationships between parish and community ministers? And then the third question, we're just going to put them all out there and then see what comes up before we wrap. The third one is, what do you think our collegial community needs in order to get better at creating and sustaining good relationships between parish and community ministers? What understanding or community needs to happen to foster these relationships? And with that, I will turn it back to the floor. Thank you.
I think that those questions could be a whole other gathering. There's so much richness in that. And I can feel myself wrapping up, you know, and wanting. And so I always like it when we're left wanting more. One thing I would say is that I think there's something about money to name. And, you know, Mandy, when you brought up that you're sharing that, and that, you know, it from a lens of abundance. Ooh, that's yummy. That's like, I just had my dessert. So there's something there, and I feel like it takes a lot more time to explore that.
Thanks, I love that, Becca.
Yeah, kind of on that same point. You know, I think it is for any community minister who's anything but a chaplain. You know, chaplains are a paid position, just as parish ministers are. But other than that, a lot of community ministers are just making it up, you know, as they go, and you know, with very few resources to support them, other than maybe our spouse's income. So I think it would be, I think it would be really, really cool if there were resources within the UUA/UUMA to support community ministries as they're getting started, and maybe, you know, kind of longer term as well, just so that there was more of that institutional financial support for community ministries. I have to admit that when I was looking at some of the sample agreements, I was kind of surprised to see some community ministers agreeing to offer free, you know, free worship services and classes, because, yeah, I mean, sort of piecing it together to make, you know, to make a full income is hard enough without that. So anyway, it's just that's a challenge. That is definitely a challenge that I think could use a lot more attention.
Yeah, and you know, it makes sense to me to actually build that into the affiliation agreement, the covenant with the congregation, that there be some resources shared from a place of abundance, and looking at a partnership in the way that there's some language dropped in the chat there like that too. And just before, Jason, I get to you, I want to read from Karen. It says, I also wonder what our congregants would say if they understood about the relationships, expectations, and accountability. So sharing those affiliation agreements with the congregation so that there's some buy-in as well. Jason.
This is obnoxious. I really apologize. And you're going to disagree with me wholeheartedly. And that's really fair. And I apologize in advance. I think it is a privilege to be a community minister affiliated with the congregation. At least that's how I felt it. Like when I was working at Black and Pink, I was kind of begging churches to care about what I was doing. And for a church to say, what you're doing is ministry, and we understand it as ministry. And then the JP church had huge expectations of me. I think I had 3 mandatory services that I was supposed to do every year and a class. And that made, I apologize, that made a lot of sense to me. And I feel like in liberation movement struggle, but did I have a full time income? I sure did not. I absolutely did not. And I was struggling enormously financially. And it still felt like my service to Unitarian Universalism and to my faith was part of what I was doing as a community minister. And the church was the place that was saying, yes, you are. So I'm super sorry to come at it from a different, I don't have to be sorry, I guess, for my opinion. I feel shocked for myself as an anti-capitalist to be like, don't pay people. and it feels complicated.
That's great. You know, I think we're, there's so many more things we can talk about here, and it seems such a generative way to stop, find that resting place. And I'm thinking about shared ministry from a whole different lens now, and I appreciate that. What does shared ministry mean when we're talking about these kinds of partnerships? And with that, I pass back to Melissa. Thank you.
Well, I just have to say that I agree with Allison. I think it's great to end on a note of wanting more. And I really appreciate you offering your perspective, Jason, even as I know that there are other community ministers who feel like the congregations are exploiting community ministers. And I think we have to hold all of those experiences and perspectives in tension as we continue to discover both what it means to build good relationships between the ministers involved, but also to amplify the values of Unitarian Universalism in all of our ministry contexts. So there's so much more we could talk about, but we promised that we would end now. So clearly we need more conversation. And I really want to thank you all, every single one of you, for coming and participating. And tell your friends about this recording. This would be a great thing for a chapter or a cluster to listen to and then have a conversation about. So I trust that there are ways to continue the conversation in lots of different settings. Really appreciate each of you. Thank you, Jan, for the tech. All of you for your flexibility, as this didn't unfold quite the way we imagined. And Margaly, you have some closing words for us.
Yes, I do. And these are the words of Orlando R. Bernola. Oof. Please help me, somebody. And the words are, as we move through life, finding ourselves always newly wise and newly foolish, we ask that our mistakes be small and not hurtful. We ask that as we gain experience, we do not forget our innocence, for they are both part of the whole. So, may we be so blessed, beloveds.
Thank you all so very much. Thank you, Margaly. Thanks for your appreciations in the chat. I hope that if you have a moment, you'll unmute yourselves and say thank you to everybody who prepared something to share tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. So good to see everyone.
Bye.
Thank you. Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.